to keep a journal? No one. Of all the successful people in the world, the one thing they have in common is they keep a journal. How many of you have goals? How many of you write them down? How often do you look at them?
About every 30 days.
About every 30 days. I have worked with a man who should actually come here and speak with you. Fred Lazak has now got a program that is called the Pocket Business Plan. So most of you are retired. How many actually are still actively working in a job? So, okay, about a third. So the thing that I find really interesting is everybody knows things that they'd like to do. So you know the big box office hit this weekend was the bucket list, right? Well, second biggest, but it was big. So imagine that you have a list of things that you want to accomplish, but they're in your head. How do you know how to plan to get where you're going? So I found this really incredible. Did you know that the very first space shuttle had to adjust their course 1,072 times to actually land on the moon? Now that's with $1 billion of experts, minds that would just completely blow us out of the water. And these people are so intelligent that you can't even follow their conversations. And they had to adjust their course 1,072 times. When we're going through our life, how many of you imagined when you were 18 years old you'd be sitting in this room in this town? Things just happen, don't they? So if you don't have a plan, you don't know how to alter your course. You don't know how to make the adjustments to get you where you want. One of the mentors that I had was Ida Kruger, who at 88 years old was giving an address to the American Medical Association in New York. After her address, she went up to her room and she went to sleep and passed away in her sleep. To the last moment of her life, she was being productive and inspiring other people. Ida's concept was you could cure anything in your body if you know what to put in it. I actually was a patient of Frank's mother back in 1992. I cut my middle finger in a lawnmower trying to help somebody who couldn't mow their own grass. Got my hand stuck in the lawnmower. The hospital, brand new ER doctor, gave me a tetanus shot with an antibiotic that caused Epstein-Barr virus. Every organ in my entire body has failed. Hard failure. At one time or another since 1991. I was told 5 times I had less than 6 months to live. I had a heart attack. I had breast cancer. It was almost like my body was looking for any way out. But the miraculous thing was that everywhere I went, I would meet someone like Frank, who would say, come and see my mother. I was coming out. Do you remember the J.R. Muggs coffee shop where the creperie is, downtown Walnut Creek? I was coming out of there with a cup of coffee one day, and this woman backed into me and knocked my coffee all over me, apologized profusely, insisted on buying me another cup of coffee, and while she was buying me this cup of coffee, she hands me a bottle of super blue-green algae. Now, I don't know about you, but other than sushi, I'm not real crazy about eating algae. But this was amazing. I had muscular dystrophy, literally could not walk a block. I started taking the super blue-green algae, and within 6 months, I could walk without any pain. Except I was taking 28 tablets every single day. It was costing me a fortune just to eat this algae. Another person said, I want you to meet this wonderful man, Ted Jones. He's an American Indian shaman. I had never met a shaman. Didn't matter to me. By this time, I'm thinking if somebody comes up to me and says, you need to try this, I'm willing to do it. It's my life after all. And if I don't have the ability to make choices that will get me through to the next month or 3 months or 6 months, then I'm the one not making the right choices. So I couldn't drive by this point, and this wonderful man came to Walnut Creek and found me at Carondelet High School in a room full of 500 people. He was shaking my hand, and he was doing that. He was checking the pulses. See, every organ in your body has a pulse on your wrist. I had no pulse in any organ. I was literally flipping in and out of consciousness 20, 30 times a day, just waiting to get through the Christmas holidays so that I wouldn't ruin my family's holiday by not being here. This man came to my house and worked on me for 3 hours that night. There was no change. Still had trouble getting out of bed the next day. But 3 days later, I went to get out of bed because the alarm hadn't gone off. I jump out of bed and I'm getting in the shower. I went, oh my God. I just jumped out of bed. When literally, like someone who has polio, I had to pick up my legs to move them the day before. The effect of the energetic work lasted for 3 weeks. And this incredible man would drive from Walnut Creek, from Antioch to Walnut Creek, once a month and work on me for a year. And then every other month. And then every 3 months. And now it's once a year, where he keeps my body energetically balanced so I don't have any effects of any physical disability whatsoever. Marlee Matlin is a wonderful actress that I met back in 1991, just about the time that I cut my finger. When she got up in front of an audience of convention, I had a franchise travel agency. We were in Palm Springs. And she waited for all of the people to stop talking because even though she can't hear, there's a vibration that you feel on the floor, the noise. When you're deaf, you can actually feel vibration or sound. So she waited until all of us were quiet, and she looked out into the audience and she said, "I know by you looking at me, you can see what disability I have. When I look out at you, I just can't tell what yours is." Think how profound that statement is. Where we're raised, the people that we have for parents, the people that we have as our teachers, all of the people who come into our life year after year affect us so profoundly that they actually change who we are. Quantum physics is a fascinating topic if you haven't had a chance to actually look into this. A movie, What the Bleep. How you can change the shape of water by sound. How even a table is no longer just that table once you've sat at it or looked at it. Every person you meet changes your life, whether you know what the change is or not. When you show up in this world as being the kind of person who makes a difference, like most of the Lions Club members, you do things that are philanthropic. You do things to help youth learn how to be better speakers. You sponsor programs to help people who are blind and can't read. You get donations for glasses, so people who can't afford glasses. I know that this club, didn't you used to have a program where you would work with the youth home in Concord? Is that a number of years ago? I remember volunteering. I went up and painted the fence in the house of a youth home in Concord, and I think it was from this club that I volunteered to do that. You don't remember that? This was like 93, 94.
Yes, we did. Youth homes.
Youth homes. So the work that you do, you don't realize when you're putting your time out there that you're making this huge difference in the world. How you show up in this life is how you're remembered. And about 6 years ago, someone said, you know, I was born in 1950, and then whenever I die, that dash between those years. Your life is defined by that dash. What does that represent to you? What is it in your life, like the bucket list, that you've always thought of doing but you just haven't gotten around to it? What can you do to make someone else's life richer? What can you do to empower someone? Imagine growing up in Mendocino. There's actually people who do grow up there. And coming up to an area like the Bay Area, that's huge. I never met a single person until I was maybe 17, 18 years old that I didn't start school with. How protective that is. And then come out into the real world and realize that there are so many things out there. I was 19 before I had my first Chinese food. The only spice that I knew was salt and pepper. Imagine what it was like seeing the world as an 18-year-old going to college and realizing that there's so much more in the world than what I was exposed to the first 18 years of my life. Do we lose that vision? One of the things, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Sergio Liu, but he brings some amazing people to the Bay Area from all over the world. The first Eco Village, the first Clean Village that's actually in Chicago, of all places. They have a village where they grow what they eat, they educate their youth, they take care of their elders. Everything that they need is in this one village. And he brought in a speaker from Stanford, and the thing I love about Stanford is they have more money than they know what to do with. And they do all these incredible studies, but nobody ever hears about them. Did you know that drug addicts, alcoholics, and people who have diabetes all have the same ailment? It's a weak pancreas. You strengthen the pancreas and all those things go away. That was released in 1990. This is 2008. We punish drug addicts, we punish alcoholics, but we do not judge diabetics. All three can be completely reversed. I was a brittle diabetic 3.5 years ago. I'd get up in the morning, my insulin was 20. I would eat within 20 minutes, it was 350 to 380, and I did that at least 10 times a day. Imagine what it would be like being on that roller coaster with my whole body acting like it was being stretched like a rubber band. The Stanford research department that had done that study told me that what I should do is eat nothing but green. If it wasn't green, I didn't eat it. 3 months later, my insulin levels were normal. They have been level ever since. One of the other studies that they did, which I find absolutely just heart-wrenching, they followed 2,000 youth from every ethnicity, every economic background. They found out 98% are born with a capacity for genius. That means 98% of everyone in this room has a genius capacity. They followed these children, and every 5 years, they found out that it diminishes by 25% until the age of 21, 2% are left. Our environment robs from us our ability to be genius. Now, knowing that, you can change it. Knowledge is what gives you power. Being in action is what gives you purpose. On Monday, I am releasing my fifth book, and I'm very excited about this. It's not even here yet. It's called Create Your Own Reality, The Ancient Wisdom. And about 3 years ago, I created a speaker's journal. I teach people how to do professional speaking. Me, the one who stuttered, I'm out there teaching people how to do this and make an income. One of my students, Jerry Hart, who is Mickey Hart's brother from The Grateful Dead, Mickey Hart, he was a talk show host on Kiss Radio with Rennell in the morning, and he lost his job and met me. And I said, this is what we need to do, because all the Chrysler commercials you hear, that's Jerry's voice. He does voiceover. He's absolutely magic on the radio. But it wasn't enough money to keep him going, because he was used to making $150,000 as a disc jockey. So he came up with this idea for an email marketing campaign business, and he's worked with the Oakland Raiders, with the Hiltons, Visa, Bank of America, huge companies. But you know what? It's isolating. Most people come to service organizations because when you're working in a business where you don't have that regular interaction with your peers, you begin to atrophy. So I had him design a presentation that he could take to all the service organizations. And after a year and a half, He had gone from zero regular clients to earning $40,000 a month. He started doing national speaking. Office Depot recruited him for a huge convention and then a webinar. He got hired to do all of Florida State's tourism marketing. And then he was recruited to go to England a year ago in September, where he was on a panel with 15 international experts on email marketing campaigns. He spoke for 45 minutes, and he walked away with $30,000. I think that's a pretty good payday for somebody who is 38 years old and never thought that he could ever speak in front of public audiences. Because when you're in front of a microphone and you've got that radio keeping you from your listeners, it's not as threatening as when you're standing in front of a group of people. The number one fear, according to the Book of List, is public speaking. Dying is fifth. And I always tell people, that means that most people would rather be in the box than giving the eulogy. Doesn't make sense, does it? But I thoroughly appreciate that. I was there. So I have books and CDs. I teach teleseminars. And I want to encourage everyone, pick one thing this year. Whatever it is, you've always said, someday, or I'm going to get to that. I don't care if it's a cruise down the Nile or helping somebody that you've always thought, if I could only do something. Take one thing you've never done and put it on your list to accomplish. And someone here, I would like to have you pick one of my products, whether it's books or CDs, and you could even pick my new book. So if you don't have a business card, I have blank cards in here. So if you want to just put those in there. There's probably, in one day, you will run into at least 20 people just by being out there. How many of you ever just walk up and down Main Street here in Walnut Creek? You just walk up and down Main Street in Walnut Creek. Any day. I don't care, any day. See, I used to do this on a regular basis. So is your office the same place where it was, right at Main Street?
And I am the original Chinese.
No, you're not.
They all disappeared.
So when I met Frank, I was really active in the Walnut Creek Chamber. And I thought when you had a business, you just joined the chamber. I thought that was what everybody did. So I tried to inspire people to be active in the business community because it is your community. How else can you make it what you want it to be if you're not active? So I would walk up and down Main Street. What do you need? What do you want? What can we do for you? How can the chamber help you? Because I had a travel agency during the Gulf War and nobody was traveling, so what else was I going to do? I couldn't force somebody to get on an airplane. So I would figure out different ways that I could be interactive in the business community. What amazed me was how many people told me that I was the first person that they ever met who asked them what they needed. How many of you have brought a guest to this club in the last month? Frank did. So, why not? When it comes time to appoint people for new committees, when you want things to happen in this club, it's the new people who are the ones who support the new activities. Don't you get tired of volunteering for the same thing every single time? So how do you fix that? You bring other people in. So I really want to challenge you on this, that every single one of you has to bring a guest before the end of February. I don't care if it's your dry cleaner, your jeweler, your dentist. Find somebody that isn't represented here and bring them. Because because this is, after all, your club, your responsibility. To show up here for lunch once a week and have food and joke around is great, but what's the underlying purpose of why you're doing this? Because you can go to a lot of other places and have lunch. So take the responsibility. Look for things that you can do to make a difference. I know that all of you enjoy the camaraderie. You love being in an organization where you feel like you're with friends. Why wouldn't you want to share that with someone else? Because you can make all the difference in someone else's life. A year after I spoke here in August of 1992, I was speaking at a Lions Club in Lafayette. Chris Johnson had invited me to speak over there. And this young woman came up to me after I was all done, and she said, I heard you were speaking here. You had spoke at our club about 6 months ago, and I want to tell you that you told one thing. And when I paid attention and I looked at this one thing, I realized that I was the one not making my business cash flow positive. So most people go to their business, they go to a job, they do the same thing every day by route, but they never question, what is it that they're doing? Could they be more efficient? The rule of thumb nationally is that if it can cost $200 to outsource any activity, you should not do it yourself. When she told me that she was going to be shutting her business down, except what I had told her kept her from doing that, she would have had to get a job. She had three children under the age of 10. You know what child care is like and the expense of it. She would have barely broken even having a job and paying for child care. Showing up. Woody Allen says 80% of success is showing up. So let me ask you, what are you doing in this lifetime to show up? What are you doing in this lifetime to inspire the people around you to show up? Thank you.